So I want you to look again, if you would, in our text, specifically verse 7 of the text. You'll notice the Apostle Paul mentions a certain man by name. Verse 7 says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." Now this man, Tychicus, who we are going to call Brother Ty throughout this entire message, was indeed, as Paul says, a beloved brother. And you may or you may not know this, but Brother Ty is mentioned in the New Testament some 7 times. And in fact, those 7 times include 5 different books of the Bible, plus a 6th book, where he's referred to, though not by name. And what does Scripture always say about this beloved brother? You notice verse 7 here says, "He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord." Man, I wish, you know, I could wish that somebody like Paul would say that about me. But that's not all. Not even close. In Ephesians 6, turn back just a few pages, really, Ephesians chapter 6. You'll see another one of those occasions. Verse 21 says, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." Acts chapter 20, don't turn there, but that's when Paul's enemies were lying in wait for him. They were plotting to ambush him, and accompanying him on this very dangerous journey was a man by the name of Tychicus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 22, it says these words, "And we have sent with them our brother Ty, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent." Wow! In 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul was writing his farewell from a Roman prison, he tells Timothy these words, "Brother Ty have I sent to Ephesus." Why? To relieve Timothy, so Timothy might come unto him. So that you see, folks, we could go on, but from the very beginning, all the way back in the book of Acts, when Paul's journeying, all the way to the very end, this man, Brother Ty, was a godsend for the Apostle Paul. It caused me to think recently about this man and this particular question. What if all of Paul's companions were just like Brother Ty? You know, in 2 Timothy, when Paul lists all the people that had forsaken him, he said, "No man, all men have forsaken me, no man stood with me." We know that before that, Paul says, "Brother Ty, have I sent to Ephesus." In other words, there was one man who was with him all the way to the very end. And the only reason he wasn't there is because Paul sent him knowing that he would be a faithful and beloved brother. So, what if? What if all of the believers in Paul's churches that he had started were just like Brother Ty? Which presents another question. What if all the members of your family, I'm talking about you now, me, what if all of the members of your church were just like you? If every member of Beacon Baptist Church were just like you are spiritually, what kind of a church would this be? And you know, one of the reasons why I thought about that hypothetical question is that in almost every instance where Brother Ty is noted in Scripture, he has done so in the context in an epistle that deals with church community. Did you know that? Study his name. Go through it. For example, here in Colossians, Paul begins by teaching that Jesus is the head of the body, a body, as you know, with different parts. Same thing in Corinthians, there is the head, the hand, the foot, and so on that makes up the body. In Ephesians, as you'll see in a moment, it's the different bricks of a building. So that the question, again, is this. If every brick in the building was just like Brother Ty, what kind of a building would that be? If every brick in the building is just like you, or just like me, what kind of a building, the whole building, would it be? Turn back a few more pages to Ephesians chapter 2, would you? Ephesians chapter 2. Paul speaks of this building shortly before, just before he talks about Brother Ty, Brother Tychicus. Chapter 2, verse 14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now, this picture, mental image, is from the literal wall just inside the Jewish temple that separated the Jews from the court of the Gentiles. Spiritually speaking, the wall has been removed or, quote, broken down through the blood of Christ. But he goes on, because that's not all. Chapter 2, look at verse 19. "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." Fellow citizens. So, here's what he's doing. Follow this carefully now. Here's what the Holy Spirit's doing through Paul. He shifts to a new metaphor. Paul now alludes to a citizenship of a certain desired nation. No longer being foreigners, no longer being strangers. Gentiles and Jews are now, quote, fellow citizens with all the saints of God. And that's not all. Verse 19, the last line says, and of the household of God. The metaphor includes a household now. That's a common word in the New Testament for a family. So they follow this. In addition to being citizens of a kingdom, we are also, by God's grace, members of his family. But that's not all. Verse 20, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Now, obviously, this is yet another metaphor alluding to a building, a physical structure that is constructed brick upon brick and stone upon stone. And let me just say that this is not an example of mixing metaphors. You know, when people mix metaphors, it's weak writing. It's like a mixed metaphor is he stepped up to the plate and took the bull by the horns. Or, you know, he's up a tree, open up a can of worms, and you'll be a creek without a paddle. I don't know, but those are mixed metaphors, and they're very confusing. This is called an extended metaphor. He's making a point by adding one after another. And what does he do? He begins with a citizen of a kingdom. He moves to the members of a family. He expounds especially on the ideas of the bricks in a building, and all of these are part of something that is his. That means his kingdom, his church, his family, all of which are made up of individual believers, just like you are here tonight or watching and listening where you are, and just like Brother Ty. You know, for all the glorious truth that we considered this morning about the individual and that solitary person, you know, we have an added glory to that. The added glory is that as an individual, distinct brick, we belong. We belong to the kingdom of God. We belong to his family, his people, his kingdom, which is eternal. Which brings us again to this question. If it's true that all of us are single bricks in a building, as we just read, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, what if? What if all of the bricks, what if every stone in the structure is just like you? If every citizen in this country were just like you, what kind of a country would we have? If every member of your family, all of them, were just like you, what kind of family would you have? But mostly, beloved, and most especially, I ask the question in light of these scriptures, if every brick in the building were just like you or me, what kind of a church would your church be? You know, I remember when we were doing the construction on these buildings about 11 years ago and before, and I can recall that one of the conditions for approval from Palm Beach County, meaning the requirements to get a building permit, included that all three of these buildings had to have in its facade and the outside part had to have three kinds of aesthetic material. We were required to use brick for some of it. We were required to use stone for some of it. And wood panel for some of it. And of course, this wood panel, you know, it's not even real hardy board. But thankfully, we didn't have to do wood. We changed it. But it looks like wood. You know, with the grooves outside, you know what I'm talking about. The bricks, neither are they really bricks. I don't know if you know that, but they're fake bricks. Okay, I hate to break your heart or anything like that, but they're really thin. They look real now, but they're really thin. And I remember when I would come out here and I'd see these piles of bricks. And you know, few, if any of them, were exactly the same. They're designed to look a little bit different. Some are bigger than others. Some are more or less textured. Some were slightly darker than other ones. And the one thing they did have in common is that the ones you see all over the place here is that they were used because they were usable. And thus now they remain a part of the beauty, I think, of this whole building. Now, obviously, that's not always the case. And yes, years ago, when I would come out and see the construction, I would also see these little piles of material. There would be stone material over here and brick material over here. A little pile of pavers over here later on in the construction. You know why? Because in some cases, the material was chipped or it was cracked or it was unsightly. In other instances, it was the wrong color, maybe the wrong size. And of course, when it comes to those that were defective and unusable or thrown away, the question is still the same. And here's the question for me and all of us. What if every brick and every stone was just like the defective one? What would the building look like? What kind of a church, what kind of a building would this be? In our text, we have seen Paul talk a lot about construction, about workmanship, about that which is usable and that which is unusable in his kingdom, that which is worthy, that which is unworthy. In chapter 4, in verse 1 of Colossians, go back there, would you? I'm sorry, it's Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. I like to hear pages turn and swipe left or whatever you're swiping, swipe right. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You see, folks, if you're called to be a stone or a brick in the building, then be of use. That's what he's saying. Be of worth. Be of value. Which brings us back again to Brother Ty. You see, it's as if the Holy Spirit of God wants to give us Exhibit A. In all of these texts, it's as if he wants to show us a living epistle of everything we're reading about. If you look in our original text, all right, swipe right or turn your pages, Colossians, go back to Colossians chapter 4. I want you to notice four things about this beloved brother, Brother Ty, that exemplifies what it means to be a blessing. Look, if every church member were like you, the very first question when I look at this man is this: would the church, if they were like you, would the church be friendly? Really, Pastor? Friendly? Well, look at chapter 4 and verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. You know, it's not an accident that just before this, Paul admonishes in verse 6, look at it, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. In our earlier text, it says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Across the page in Colossians 3, look at verse 12. And again, this is a constant theme surrounding this man. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Verse 14, above all these, put on charity or love, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and so it goes. Wow. Please, Lord, let me be like that. All of these speak about different virtues, you see, that constitute the kind of person that we all know as, quote, friendly. People who are kind, people that are forbearing, people who endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, people who are tender-hearted, forgiving, loving. Obviously, these are the ones who tend to be very friendly. Just kind. And to anybody who's ever been a member of any church where they have said, this is not a friendly church, I just ask the question, what if the entire church, what if every member of the church was just like you, how friendly would the church really be? What if the face of Beacon Baptist Church was inscribed with your face? Not your literal face, thankfully. What if every member were just like you? How many people would be greeted? Think about that for a minute. If every member were like you, how many visitors would be greeted when they came to this church? How many smiles? How much hospitality would be seen in this place? You remember the verse we read a moment ago about being kind and long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving? There in chapter 3, verse 13 of Colossians. Well, look at the context of it. Chapter 3, verse 8. Put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. Folks, who wants to be a part of a broken eyesore brick of a building? A soured citizen of the kingdom? Who wants to be a nasty, grumpy member of the family? I do not. The Bible says our Lord Jesus was a friend of sinners. I want to be a friend of sinners in the non-compromising way that Jesus was. Think about that. If every member of the church was just like the Lord Jesus, how welcoming and compassionate and kind and helpful and tenderhearted would this place be? Brother Ty was friendly. Number two, the second thing I want us to ask is, how faithful would we be? If all of the bricks in the building were just like you, and some of you watching and listening right now, I'm not rebuking you for not being here in a storm and so forth, but if everybody were as faithful as you are, how faithful would the church really be? You know, we've read these texts, and obviously the most repeated thing about Brother Ty is that he was faithful. Chapter 4 and verse 7 again, all my stay shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister. In Ephesians 6 it said, a beloved brother and faithful in the Lord. What does that mean, preacher? It means he was trustworthy, he was consistent, he was there for Paul. If all of the members of the church at Ephesus or Colossae were just like Brother Ty, imagine what a church that would be. Imagine. If all the members of Beacon Baptist Church were just like you, not the person next to you or in front of you or behind you, you. If everybody were like you, how faithful or unfaithful would the church be? You know, Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Now, I once, years ago, had a knee out of joint, ACL. When I was in Bible college 40 million years ago, I had a broken tooth. I actually came home to this traveling dentist in Indiantown. No kidding. He was a traveling dentist in a trailer. My mom, thanks mom, had me go to him to get my wisdom teeth pulled out, and he broke my jaw on the third one. And so he kind of cleaned it up, I thought. And so I went to school, and that entire year I had this piece of bone. And it's interesting, if you look at the pictures, any pictures taken during that semester, I'm always doing this in every picture because it was driving me crazy. In other words, if a foot is out of joint or a tooth is broken, it affects everything. It's all you can think about. Am I right? It just brings you down. And God says unfaithful people are just like that. People you can't count on, especially, he says, when you need them in time of trouble. So again, imagine if every member of your family was a broken tooth or a gimpy foot. Would anything get done for the cause of Christ? Faithfulness. Brother Ty, I love this man. Brother Ty was faithful and friendly. And you know, if half of the members of the church at Colossae were just like him, that would be glorious. And there's no doubt, beloved, one of these days he will hear his Lord and Master say, well done, if he hasn't already, thou good and faithful servant. Not talented. It doesn't say there, well done, thou good and wealthy, thou good and popular, thou good and gifted servant. You know, we have no indication, no record that he wrote a book, Brother Ty, that he pastored a church, that he healed anybody. We have no record that he held any big office. We just have Paul's words that this man's faithful. I can count on this man. A lesson of friendliness, a lesson of faithfulness, the third thing you'll consider, I hope, is a lesson of forgiveness. If every member of your family or your church was just like you, how much forgiveness would flow back and forth? Colossians 3, you're right there now, right? Notice Colossians 3 and verse 8 again. But now also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, once you get saved, you start becoming more like Jesus. And there's some wonderful texts in the Bible that talks about the fact that if Jesus forgave you, now you forgive others, right? Don't clog up that blessing. There's an interesting little detail in this story. If you go back to chapter 4, I want you to notice something about Brother Ty. It says in verse 8, look at it, chapter 4, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with, that sentence isn't over, with Onesimus. Onesimus, why do we know that name? Well, we know that name because the book of Philemon. We know that he was a runaway slave. We know that Paul was sending him back to Philemon, hopefully that Philemon would give great forgiveness to this dear brother, as Paul had done. So who does Paul send him with? A man who understands and who has a forgiving spirit himself. You know something? Any family, any marriage, any church, any kingdom comprised of citizens still in the flesh is never going to survive. It is never going to make it without some of those citizens or those members demonstrating a spirit of forgiveness. Face it, beloved, everybody messes up. Everybody has moments when they're hurtful, when they're offensive, when they are selfish. That is precisely why Paul emphasizes the need to forgive one another. Forgiveness is the oil on the machinery of life that keeps the whole thing from overcharging and seizing up. Imagine your family for a moment, or your church, if all the members forgave other people just like you do. How much oil would there be? I remember being in high school and keeping the oil in the car. My dad would tell me, check the oil, check the oil, check the oil. You always check the oil. It's a big thing. Check the oil. I know John Morris is like that. Check the oil. Idiot light. Dad said, don't depend on the idiot light, he called it, the oil light, if it ever came on. And in part because he drove a Chevy Vega. It leaked oil. I think when we drove it off the thing, brand new, it leaked oil. Someone said GMC stands for Got a Mechanic Coming. Amen. So anyway. So one day, my brother and I were driving home, and we were coming over the bridge, the Indiantown Bridge, I believe it was, and the oil light came on, the idiot light, which means we hadn't been checking the oil. We kept driving. We heard a noise, da-da-da-da, and boom, and boom. Sure enough, pulled over, and it seized up. You know what happened? No oil. All that friction led to all that heat, and it threw a rod, and the engine seized, and it was destroyed. And this is what happens. This is what happens in families and churches where there is no forgiveness. No forbearance. That's the word used several times. No forbearance. The only reason why any home, any marriage, any church, any organization has any peace at all, has any power or any progress, is because some of the members, the good ones, are like Brother Ty. They're merciful, gracious, forgiving, just like Jesus is. But the question is this, how about you? Forget about, oh, let them be forgiving. The sermon is about me standing behind this pulpit. What if everybody was just like me? You are a brick in the building. You're a citizen of his kingdom. You are a member of his family. How forgiving, forbearing, long-suffering are you? Is there somebody right now, God, the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind that you need to forgive? A lesson of friendliness, faithfulness, forgiveness, and then finally, a lesson of fruitfulness. You know, in verse 7, Paul says that Brother Ty was coming to them with Onesimus to declare all the things in Paul's situation. In Ephesus, when he write, we believe he wrote these epistles around the same time, if not the same time, he goes even further. He states there that with these epistles, Brother Ty would make known all things he's writing about. In other words, essentially, Tychicus, Brother Ty, was the scripture mail carrier. However, as a faithful minister, remember that's what Paul called him? A faithful minister. Paul trusted him to make what he had written fully known. He'll let you know everything. Brother Ty may have been the very first person ever to expound the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, because he was definitely a fruitful man, a fruitful tree. You know what fruit is? Fruit is beneficial. It contributes to the health, the strength, the enjoyment of the entire body. A fruitful tree is just simply a blessing. It gives shade, sustenance, sweetness, so that if you have, if a church has a fruitful tree on that pew, and then there's a fruitful tree on this pew, and this one, and that one, and that one over there, then you realize that that is a place where there's going to be what a church is meant to be, a place of encouragement there, shade, blessing there, and there, and there, and there. A place of admonition, encouragement, nutrition, blessing. If every member was a fruitful tree, imagine if everybody in the service can imagine the orchard to the glory of God. But unfortunately, a lot of God's people are satisfied and willing to settle for barrenness. Or even worse, instead of bearing fruit, they're like a poison oak or a Venus flytrap. You sit next to them and welcome to Poison Oak Baptist Church. Come and get a rash. I wouldn't join that church. Definitely don't want to pastor that church. Fruitfulness. What if every member of your family were like you? Oh, wouldn't you be good, Pastor? Glad they're not all like me. You know what? Then it's time for you to change. Can I just say this? A Christian is not part of the unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful works of darkness. That's what you were. You have been saved to bear fruit. No excuses about your personality or your childhood. My dad, my mom didn't take me enough, whatever. Andy always says, you didn't go to my soccer games. He never played soccer, so whatever. No settling for people who just have to accept that's just the way I am. What? God did not save you so that you would just stay the way you are. God saved you to be His workmanship, a trophy of His grace. You are no more, the Bible says, no more are you strangers and foreigners. Therefore, He says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And when God calls, He qualifies. So don't settle. Let us be a church. Better yet, why don't you be a brick in the church? Say, I will be a brick in the church that is friendly, faithful, forgiving, and fruitful. So that every brick in the building of God, if it were exactly like you, what kind of a church would it be? Blessing or a burden? I thank the Lord for Brother Ty. I thank the Lord that God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired Paul to write down all these little things about this one brother and what a blessing he is to my heart. Father, bless now the imitation. Lord, I thank you for this dear brother that you have mentioned in your word as an example, a beloved man who comforted people's hearts, who was faithful, who was a faithful minister, who was there when he was needed, and who was obedient to being all of these virtues that we described tonight in your word. And I pray, Father, that he will encourage us and that your word and that the Holy Spirit will convict us, that we should be an example of these things as well. Bless those who've asked for prayer in this time of invitation, please, in Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.